Let us pray. Lord, as we still our hearts, help us to know you as the God who is for us. We call you Father. The God alongside us, we call you Jesus. The God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. Help us to focus, to listen to what you have for us. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would just fill us up to overflowing with your love, understood in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Transform us, renew us, help us to not just to be a house of God, but a home for Christ. Help our hearts to, moment by moment, Lord, be open to your leading. We pray that you take over now and you bless us with what you have for us today. It's in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is kind of a challenging one when it comes to just jumping into it. This is from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Pentateuch. We like to just say the Torah. In the fifth book, this is Moses's really his summary of God's story of what he's been doing in the life of the people, and really challenging the people to live in a way that's faithful to what God wants them to live, and to walk with him, to trust in him. And in that, he gives this message. It's the whole book of Deuteronomy is pretty much a sermon. So if you think I'm long sometimes, check that out. But in there, it's fascinating because the book ends and they're still talking. It's interesting how that works. But you know how God used other people to kind of finish that and kind of tidy it up. But in that, sometimes it's just like, well, we're talking about Moses and him dying. Like, what's that about? Just trust. I think what the Lord has for us today. Okay. So it's the end of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Primarily verses 4 through 12, couple moments there. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." Hard truth. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Just FYI, the highlighted yellow words, "he buried him," we understand that to be God buried him. Powerful when you think about that. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Some of you aren't even close to that, right? And you're like, man, that'd be nice. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. They truly loved him until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders of the Lord sent him to do in Egypt to Pharaoh. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. So much is in here. And it's important for us to see that there's this isn't the first time a book is ending, and especially in the Bible, let alone in world history. Iliad ends with a funeral. But we have in this ancient time, book of Genesis ends with Joseph's death. And so we have this teaching that becomes a teaching because of what Moses has done. Moses has taken some elements of Genesis, but primarily Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the three previous books, and put it all together. And it's, I know we're kind of jumping into the, kind of like I'm fast forwarding to the end of the movie, I apologize, but understand this, that there he created, or he helped lay out all that God had done in the people to help them know how to live. It's in this collection, none of the first five books known as the Pentateuch, that we get the Ten Commandments. And then the Ten Commandments, it helps us to know how to relate to God and how to relate to other people. The challenge I find in this is that it's like, well, why didn't Moses get in the land? Like, come on, God. I mean, there was no one greater. No one else lived a life like Moses. Daily trusting in him, daily walking with him. And it was like, Lord, why wasn't he allowed? Now, the previous chapter says he was unfaithful, that he didn't walk in a way that honored God at a real crucial point in leading the people. So he and his brother Aaron weren't able to go into this land. And yet, for some reason, you hear no regret. You just kind of hear this, Moses accepted it. Moses followed where God led. Which brings me to my question, and maybe brings to you to your question, is, well, how good is good enough? I mean, how good do you have to be to get into this promised land? Like, which commandments are the most important? There's this one time when Jesus has just done some teaching, and there's this group of religious leaders known as the Sadducees, and they were the buddies, and I say that in a very loose term, but buddies with Rome. They were the ones to kind of keep the peace, kind of make sure we won't let any, you know, upheaval happen. You just kind of let us practice our religion, okay? And so the Sadducees kind of like are testing Jesus and, you know, what he really knows and how much does he really understand. And he lays it down on them, and he kind of just helps them understand that there's more than just this life, he says, that God is forever, and we're going to be with him forever. And it's, you miss it. You make a grave mistake. And so now this other group that's kind of against the Sadducees, okay, they're kind of like, listen, they're kind of sellouts. These group called the Pharisees, they're kind of, you know, the Sadducees are like, they're sellouts. We got this together. We know what we're doing. So, okay, since you got that right, let's see how well you really know the law. Of these Ten Commandments, just to kind of put it all in perspective, these Ten Commandments were worked out to be 613 individual commandments of how to either keep the Ten Commandments or how not to break the Ten Commandments. 613. And you're trying to remember what you have to get at Publix. Right? So 613, here he is trying, he's being asked by one of the lawyers of that day and saying, so which one do you think is the greatest? Which one is the most important? Which one do we have to keep so we don't end in like Moses and not get in the land? And he says, the greatest of these is this. And he quotes the most holy prayer in the Jewish tradition, the Shema, from Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. That everything about you should love God. Now in the Greek, he actually says heart, soul, mind, and strength to explain all that the Hebrew words meant. You know, kind of things translate, right? So they could express that whole idea in three words in the Hebrew. For in the Greek, they needed four, okay? It's not like there's individual parts, but he's just trying to explain it in a way that makes sense. But then he does something they're not ready for. Of the 613, guess what? This one was not part of it. He says, and the second is just like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now he's quoting from the Holy Torah as well, the Pentateuch, and Leviticus 19. No one that we have in recorded history had ever quoted that. No rabbi, no group, no community had ever quoted that scripture as being that important. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love others. Everything is summed up in that. Now, for me, I think about what that means for our community. What does that mean for our community? How do we love God and love others? We have a lot of fun here. We have a good time. And if you're a guest here, we're glad you're here. It takes a lot of courage to come, and we appreciate you taking that courage and coming to anywhere new, but especially a church. You know, because there's some wackadoodles out there. Come on, let's get real. Get real. But it's easy to love here. It's much more difficult to love in the world. It's much more difficult when someone wrongs us and we know that they wronged us and we deserve better. darn it, right? That's not right. They shouldn't have. That's much more difficult. When someone says something that's not true about us. When a loved one is selfish, and we're like, well, that's not right. How do we love through that? How do we take what we talk about on Sunday and actually apply it in our lives Monday through Saturday? That's the challenge that really that Pharisee lawyer is trying to find out. Like, how do we live this out? And what's the most important ones we really got to live? I want to make sure I get in the promised land. I don't want to just see it, even though I think that was a gift to Moses. How do we do that? And I think it starts with this community. It starts with us loving one another, practicing what God wants us to do and how to live. And in that practicing, humbling ourselves before each other. And maybe not being afraid to ask, hey, how do you think I handled that? And really listen. What do you think I should do with, before I move forward, anything that maybe I'm not seeing clearly? That's what brothers and sisters in Christ really do for each other. It's tough when that's not, you can't force that. It's tough when that's not a real part of a person's life. And yet we need that. If you have a struggle with a person, you need to reach out to them, touch base, or at least to go, listen, this is what I experienced, this is what I felt. I may be in the wrong, but is this what happened? We have a group of nominations. Where's that green sheet of paper? Here we go. Thank you. Sorry. She's like, I just saved up my next hymn in there. Sorry. These are in your bulletin. These are nomination forms. They're for you to prayerfully consider where you think and who you think God is leading to serve these next few years in leadership here in the local church, inside the four walls. Lays it out there. We tell you, please pray about this. These are the qualifications. These are the things to be mindful of. We would love for you to turn this in. I can say that we have some wonderful, wonderful elders. I am so grateful. God has just truly blessed us with some wonderful elders. And every one of us serves for a season. One of these elders this last week called me and said, hey, I just want to tell you that I don't know if you're happy with me or mad at me, or I don't know if I'm mad at you, kind of thing. And this is kind of the gist of the conversation. But he said, I think this is what happened at the meeting. And I didn't like that. I was so proud of that person. Gave me great joy. Not because of their pain or their struggle or their challenges, but because they didn't just take their kickball and go home. They didn't just, I'm out. They didn't just not say anything when the person walks in the room. No, they, hey, are we good or are we not? Let me tell you where I was at, what I saw, and I just want to tell you, I'm so happy that you said yes a few years ago and said, I'd like to serve if God wants me to serve. Now, we serve not because we have it all together. They'll tell you that. We serve because God calls. But in that, that's what we're talking about, that community. One thing I think about that's interesting is this Moses who, again, amazing man of the Lord, amazing man of the Lord, how he, again, saw this gift, this place. He did awesome works and deeds. Interesting how he did this awesome works and deeds, because we're told in the Gospels, Jesus does all these awesome works and deeds as well. There's no prophet that's ever come and known God face to face like this Moses. And then enters this need for a new Joshua. See, the same people of God that went into this promised land are now, have been for several hundred years at this point, still struggling, still not knowing how to truly live in God's peace, to walk with Him every day, to trust Him with the hard stuff, to lean in to where He is leading us to go. I don't think it's an accident that next week we're going to celebrate communion. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus talks about this great rescue in this Passover meal I don't think it's an accident. He says that to enter in and say, and now I give you a new commandment. And he takes this bread and he breaks it. And this is my body broken for you. And then he takes a cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. This is a new way, calling them to think about this Exodus, calling them to think about God's rescue and how God is bringing this new Joshua here. Joshua ends with Joshua dying at the end of that book. All the great leaders continue to die, and yet this Jesus who dies somehow comes back to life. Don't forget, just like today, back then, dead people stayed dead. It's pretty solid understanding. And yet this Jesus somehow came back to life. I think the way for us into this, living into what God has for us, that we don't miss it, is a dying to our rights, ourself. It's about taking our everyday life and saying, Lord, help me to trust you in this. Help me not to try to make it anything happen that's not what you want. Help me to be a part of what you're doing. I was reading in one of my devotionals this week how God guides us. It was just a great reminder that it's not that we see these clouds part, a light come down, and hear angels sing. Oh, right? That's not how it works. That it's spending time with him, knowing him, hearing him, listening, knowing his voice. And then moment by moment, conversation by conversation, letting our whole lives be an offering to him, being, dare I say, a prayer to him? Think about that. What would your life look like if you considered your whole life was like a prayer? Everything you say, everything you do, everything you think is a prayer. It's pretty humbling in my opinion. But what if? What if God is paying so much attention, paying so closely to our lives, where we're at, what we're doing? Not because he's looking to kind of catch us and, oh, can't go in the promised land. You're like Moses now. What if through Jesus, this new promise, this new life, this life of grace is given to all who believe, to all who surrender, saying, Lord, not my will, your will. What would it look like? What would it look like to our families, to our friends, about us coming home? That when people meet us, they know there's something going on here. There's something, there's a difference here. There's a joy here. How do you have a peace when this has happened in your life? When your granddaughter has had surgery, major surgery, and you're waiting for the next surgery, and you're waiting for the next surgery. How do you have that peace? By trusting in the Lord. By praying. By asking others to pray for you. How do you do that when things are not well in your marriage? By praying to the Lord, by reaching out, by asking God to intervene. How do you do that when you're looking at the bank account and how little there is, and you're like, Lord, just want to make sure you're paying attention. But the reality is, he's like, he made the whole universe. He can handle the bank account thing. But it's usually the greatest for us. In this world, it's one of the greatest challenges for us to really trust him with. It's like, whoa, Lord, you can have my heart. I trust you for heaven, but bank account, I don't know about that. Something to think about. But it's usually that one of the challenges. But when you let go, when you truly say, Lord, not my will, your will, when you truly surrender, that coming home is so beautiful. It really is. There's a peace, again, like I said. There's a joy. You don't have to worry anymore. I mentioned to you about already community. I want to mention two more things and just ask you if you'd maybe put them in your phone somewhere, put them in your Bible, as these being like a set of lenses when you read Scripture. I especially New Testament. The community is essential in the New Testament. The church. And the church, again, is not a building. The church is you and me when we're gathered together or scattered. That we are God's people where he has us here and throughout the week. Another one, second image, is the cross. The cross helps us understand what God means when he says love one another. Not love one another so you feel good. Not love one another so you keep the peace. Love one another like I have loved you and gave my life up for you. This love is sacrificial. This love is cost. It cost him everything. More than we can possibly understand. So that we could come to know who God is. I don't think it was an angry God that sent his son. I really believe God wanted to help us know how much he loved us. I think it hurt the Father just as much as it hurt the Son to be there for us. But that cross, that sacrifice, what that cost him is so much bigger than a lot of times we understand it. And then new creation, that God is working to restore and renew right where you're at. Your family, your life, your family, your community. Renewed from the inside out, transformed. So where does God have you? What places do you see growth happening of this new creation? That God is birthing in that area. You can be part of that. It starts again with that dying to self. It starts with us saying, Lord, not my will, your will. Help me to trust you with. There's nothing too big with God and you. Nothing. You can handle any situation, but it takes that surrendering. Now, some of you have some major challenges in your life, real struggles, some health, some relational, some past. What do you think the Lord wants you to do with that today? After the service, we're going to have a couple people up here praying for any or available to pray with you if you need it. If it's too raw, if you just can't do that, it just doesn't, it's too big for you. We have prayer cards found in the back of the car, back of the chairs. Please fill one out. You can put it in the prayer box in the back. We'll make sure it gets to the people and be lifting it up. But don't miss this opportunity to ask God to help you where you're at. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this understanding of community, the community of faith and the cross, the way of your son Jesus, this dying, this letting go, maybe that was always the way it was meant to be. Maybe it's not about fixing what is broken or filling what is empty. Maybe it's about a true transformation. So Lord, if there's places we're stuck, if there's places that we're not able, maybe we're not able to love someone, may you still our hearts before you. Draw us into communion with you. Help us, dear Lord, surrender everything so that we may come home and truly find rest in you. Help us understand that by loving you and others, the way of the new Joshua, this Jesus, that maybe, how beautiful that would be, maybe, just maybe, that would accomplish what the law couldn't, that could lead God's people home at last. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who need to know of your love. And we ask that you would soften their hearts. For those that need to believe and have hope once again, breathe new life into them as well. I want to pray for our community too, Lord. Ask that you would help us this week and this next several years be light and love for your glory. Whether it be through like the trunk or treat on Wednesday or through our times of ministry out and about through the community, or in sharing life in a small group. Help us to be your people. We pray for all those who, all those marriages represented throughout. We pray that you would bless them, help them to know you and trust in you more and more each day. That maybe it's just bigger, maybe just bigger than just their happiness. Maybe it's to proclaim your goodness to them and to the world. We pray for all those on the United Marriage encounter this weekend, on the marriage retreat. We ask that you would continue to bless those 18 couples, fill them up with joy, passion for you and for one another, that they may know and walk with you all the days of their lives. We pray for your church and your church universal. May you continue the movement you started. This was your idea, Lord, not ours. And we're grateful that it's your idea, but we're holding you accountable on that. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your strength. We need your provision. Strengthen the Grove, strengthen any river, Palm City and us, and all your people around the world. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our country. We pray for, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and favor. Bring your humility. May they serve your purposes. Help us to seek your kingdom first and foremost. Lord, this isn't just words that I'm trying to pray or that I think are important. I really believe they come from your word when you taught your disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."